All right, welcome into the Mountain West Connection podcast here, MWCConnection.com, Facebook, Mountain West Connection, Twitter, MWC Connection, all the good stuff. Week three is here. Jeremy Moss with Chris Hondris. How's it going?
I'm doing all right. How are you? You got ready for week two's in the books. Week three is ready to start, and let's go ahead and get this over with. It should be better, right?
I guess I'm fortunate I missed last week's show last minute due to life stuff. So that was I don't know. I still want to talk about it even when the league won one game, but we'll move forward. We won't dwell on the past and what did you guys term? I listened to most of the show. Did you guys come up with a clever name for the crotch punch?
No.
You should have, but that's okay. I figured you might. You're the funny guy.
Well, I mean, my initial thought was called it the BYU specialty, but you know.
That works well. And we have some big news tonight. We're kind of important, you think, maybe?
Are we?
Somebody likes us.
I like being liked.
Well, here's the deal. We have the good friends. Well, I'll call them good friends. Hopefully they continue to like what we do if we don't screw this up, but somebody might give us money to talk about a product on the show, if that's okay with everyone.
This sounds fine with me.
This won't be any infomercial, but Bombas.com. No joke, I bought them from some other – to be upfront, SolidVerbal.com, Shield out for Bombas. I'm like, I'll give them a try because socks are awesome. And here's how great they are. If anybody knows me, which some people do, I wear sandals, flip-flops anytime I can get. It doesn't matter. It can be snowing here in Utah, 40 degrees, 30 degrees. I'll wear flip-flops and jeans because I'm from warm weather in Texas, so I wear flip-flops. It's like a lot of the Californians come here to wear flip-flops and snow. I will wear these Bombas socks over that almost any time of the year at this point now. Do you have – they're just the most amazing things I wear. But here's the thing about the best thing – they're giving me stuff to read, and this is our first time. I didn't really read over it, so let's see if I screwed up too bad because we do go off topic. So does this count, Chris, as going off topic?
No, this is sponsorship. This is money for.
So
do you want to read it over, or should I read it over?
You go for it. You tell them about how they are sharing when you make a purchase of socks.
Yes, absolutely. So what we know is that Bombas is a collection of highly functional and fashionable athletic leisure socks with a philanthropic mission. For every pair of socks sold, Bombas donates a pair to those in need.
Boom.
Yeah, absolutely. After discovering that socks are the number one most requested clothing item in homeless shelters, founders Randy Goldberg and David Heath set out on a mission to build a better athletic sock and help solve a problem that many didn't know existed. They invested over 2 years into their research and development and created the Bombas Sock Tech, comprised of 7 substantial ways to improve the comfort, performance, and design of the athletic sock. The final product is like nothing else on the market, built for both athletic performance and extreme leisure, with each aspect of the sock improving on years of complacency in the sock industry. The collection is currently available on Bombas.com in a variety of bold colors and neutral solids for men, women, and kids, starting at $11 per pair for men, women, and $8 for children.
Here's the thing. Oh, sorry. Finished the last little bit. I have something to add.
Yeah. To date, total donations have surpassed 400,000 pairs to charity partners nationwide, including the Hannah Socks, as well as the organizations, individuals, and shelters who work and support those in need.
When they mean bold, they mean fluorescent yellow, bright pink, USA-style flags. But here's the deal.
How about bright orange, which I am totally eyeing right now?
Boise State orange. There you go. Or
Boise State neon orange. Absolutely.
Or could we Colorado State Aggie orange, perhaps?
You could go there, especially if you have the black implemented with it as well.
Here's the deal. We're going to have a code. It's going to be bombas.com/MountainWest. Don't go there yet, but bookmark it. We'll have it in the show notes, what they're able to hook us up with. And again, I'm going to buy more. They might give me a free pair, but I'll probably say no. I'll buy the socks because they're that awesome. And just really quick, what it is, you buy 4 pairs, 20% off free shipping. That's what the deal is. So if you like the socks, click the link. If you like what we're doing here, we may mix it up and make it more fun. But I'm telling you, I wear black socks to work. I don't need to wear dress socks. I find the black ones, and nobody knows it's bright yellow or orange underneath my heel and shin, right?
Mine do. But here's an additional thing, right? You talk about the colors. They have ones that are in crazy colors. They also have ones that are just flat out navy for all you Utah State fans, and flat out black for you San Diego State fans, right? Just all out. And then for even the Fresno, you can go invest in some of the limited edition Americano calf navy ones that look very similar to Fresno State's colors. So there's a whole bunch of colors, at least Mountain West friendly, that you could definitely invest in. So I suggest highly that we do it. Did I lose you, Jeremy?
I got muted for a second. There we go. That's the show I'm used to going. Stuff not working, right?
Exactly.
That's all it goes. So yeah, check that out. But check the show notes. We'll have the stuff in there in the link. But games. Can we do better than 1-11 this week? Is that possible, maybe?
It is very possible. We can at least get the one win down because Boise State plays Idaho State at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Friday. CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, CBS Sports Network. Whatever. The only thing, we don't want to take too much time. Notes I put on here. I want to see the offense actually show up, and that's all I really care about in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nothing out of the ordinary. The offense needs to put up more than 24 points in the game. They put up 16 against Washington. They put up 24 against BYU, which they should have had more. And really, they should not have lost last week, but we're done with that. But this is a game where Boise State's offense needs to shine and be proficient at shining. Ryan Finley needs to have a great game in this game. The defense needs to step up. And really, the defense didn't do too badly. I mean, it's hard when you lose a game on a Hail Mary and then a pick six. But
all two plays on offense for 100 yards and 14 points.
Exactly. But Idaho State is a high-powered passing offense. The defense needs to shut them down quick and very, very quickly. But this game needs to be a blowout for Boise State.
Yeah, they don't have Don Bailey anymore. He's at Hawaii, but the offense... And they're probably going to score some points a little bit because I bet they'll put the backups in late, but offense just needs to shut them out. Next game, and also this week, I hope you have the Pac-12 network because there's a lot of games on that network, which DirecTV is still not going to happen because they are cheapskates and don't want to pay the money, and I have to find an alternate route to watch some of these games. You remember how I called for New Mexico to beat Arizona State as my dumb upset pick of the year?
So did I. This is actually a very possible upset, so...
It's 28-point favorite for the Sun Devils, first of all, Friday night at 10 Eastern, 7 Arizona time.
I was about to say, I'm looking at the EDSBS stupid upset picks of the week that are always on the side. And, yeah, New Mexico is a 27.5-point underdog. This could either get ugly very quickly as if New Mexico doesn't start running the ball like they did last week, or... Here's the thing. Arizona State struggled against Cal Poly last week. The only reason why Cal Poly did not win that game last week was because essentially they turned into a play not to lose kind of game. And so when they essentially played not to lose instead of play to win, that's when all hell broke loose, and that's when Mike Bercovici was Baravici? Able to what?
Mike Bercovici?
Yeah. Like Mike Bercovici. You've got a C in there. Bercovici.
Oh, okay. I wonder if I spelled that right. Yeah, you're right. I was listening to Bob Davies' press conference on Monday because Cal Poly, they put up 284, averaged 3.9 per carry. So overall, that was, they put up yards, but not explosiveness. And Bob Davies saying it's a different style offense because Cal Poly runs more of the traditional triple option where if you've seen New Mexico, and I recommend at least watching them for at least a quarter. I like their exciting offense, but it's a different style. But I think New Mexico will cover in this game for sure because Arizona got worked by Texas A&M, and they only scored 35 against Cal Poly and struggled in that game. And
really in that game, you say they struggled, but I mean, they were a team that completely let their guard down, and Cal Poly had no business being in that game. And yet, they weren't just in the game. They were tying at every single advantage until the very end.
Yeah, they're done. They have their – I wish – name escapes me, but Mike Norvell. I'll tell you this now. Arizona State will not – Mike Norvell will have a head coaching job next year. He is that good of an OC. He's that good of a coach. But I want to think New Mexico could win, but they had Taron Gibson last week. He played, didn't do well. Lamar Jordan, a quarterback, did okay. Their offense wasn't as what I thought it could be against Tulsa. They settled for field goals and weren't. I just thought more of them because Tulsa's good, but their defense usually isn't very good. I think they can cover, but they're going to need their defense to make a play or two if they're going to maybe get the upset, and I don't know if they have it.
Yeah, this is a team that – do I want to make this my stupid upset pick of the week? Sure, why the hell not? This is going to be my stupid upset pick of the week. Because I thoroughly believe if New Mexico pulls out the same style of game plan that Cal Poly did last week, New Mexico, even though they're a subpar FBS team, they're not bad, but they're subpar. I think that's still better than a really good FBS team, as we saw San Jose State versus New Hampshire. I think New Mexico can not only just make this a game, if you get it close and you're staying close until the end, good things can happen, especially if you can break out against Arizona State's mediocre defense.
We'll see. The defense is anything special. They got to stop Demario Richard. He's had just under 200 yards in two games, so pretty good. It's just the defense what I'm worried about. And I think Arizona State will win, but it'll be reasonably closer than people think. But that's your upset pick, so got to respect that. Next game, we got 10 a.m., noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, 6 Hawaii a.m. kickoffs featuring the Mountain West, three of them. First one, I would so love to see this be an upset. Air Force goes on the road to take on Michigan State. ABC, folks, that's a big deal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a 26.5-point spread for Air Force.
Ooh.
26.5-point spread for Michigan State.
Well, I think we knew what you meant there. Okay, here's the deal. Nate Romine, he's out with reportedly out with an ACL, MCL. He put it on his Facebook page. So anybody out there, if you're a Facebook friend of Nate Romine, let us know for sure because that's what's been reported, and that's what a radio guy for Air Force, who I think the play-by-play guy, had that information. He's out. However, it's not a bad thing. Carson Roberts is stepping in, and he's played enough over the past year or two. Here's the thing, though. Nate Romine, I'm going to use air quotes here. He's more of a passing quarterback in this Air Force offense. He had minus 3 yards in week one. He could run the offense, but he's not a running threat. And Carson Roberts, while he was the backup, didn't get the job. He can actually run the ball a bit better and could make this offense, it's more one-dimensional. It's more, still more one-dimensional, but more options in the running game.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it's just one of these games that Mike D'Antonio, whether you're going to overlook Air Force or not, regardless, nobody in the Big Ten, as we've seen from the Big Ten playing Navy, nobody in the Big Ten likes to play a triple option team. And this is one of those things that if you're not prepared for it, you're going to cut off guard. The Mountain West as a whole, just because Air Force has been running it for so long, has kind of gotten used to the triple option.
Cut block!
What?
The cut block.
Yeah, exactly.
Yale Timber getting chopped over those defensive ends.
I think Air Force stays in this game for about halftime, until about halftime before basically they're just going to be out-muscled. But I definitely think they cover the spread in this one.
Do you think Michigan State could overlook since they beat Oregon last week in the top 10 matchup?
Oh, definitely. Like I said, this game could easily be a four-quarter game. Especially if Michigan State lets their guard down. I just don't know how much Air Force has to finish. But if they're somehow in it until the last minute, oh my goodness, could we be looking at Air Force as a dark horse, not just a group of five team, but possible playoff team?
Oh, you brought the P word, playoffs.
Yeah. There's your hot take right there.
You know what another hot take is? I need to text Bill Connolly and ask him why Air Force is not included on his early barrage of teams who can make a New Year's Six bowl game. Air Force was not included, yet San Diego State was.
Are you kidding?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, you know.
This game, it's good. Here's the thing. Michigan State, Connor Cook, he didn't look impressive against Oregon. And Oregon's defense, it's what it is. It's not great, but it's pretty good. He was what, under 50, barely 50% passing. However, I think Weston Stillhammer is going to match up with Aaron Burbridge. So that's good. Stillhammer and Burbridge, right? That's a pretty good matchup. Burbridge just had two games over 200 yards and about six catches a game, 12 so far. That'll probably be a matchup to see. That's who Connor Kirk's going to be focusing on, I think. I know Stillhammer's a safety, so he's probably not technically going to be guarding him. But if they could slow him down, and heck, if Connor Cook's not accurate for any reason, I don't see why Air Force, like I said, can't hang in this game. It's going to be dependent on, like we always say, you're going to play keep away and hope and assume Carson Roberts, I'm assuming it's probably a lot to say, but have him run the offense efficiently and just give it to Jacoby Owens, give it to however many running backs they have and keep it close. But at the end, it's just going to be, I hope it's going to be more like the Oklahoma game from a few years back with Tim Jefferson, where it'll probably be like a 7 or 10 point loss, but close till the end.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close loss. It's definitely going to cover the spread.
Yeah, so if you're doing that, but it would be awesome if Air Force was able to top Michigan State, because that would be brilliant.
Smarty, no!
Yeah, UNLV at Michigan. Big Ten Network, so most people have that, I believe. So you could stream at Big Ten to go, and we'll keep you updated. Well, no, sorry. I was going to say we're going to keep you updated if it did a Hawaii game where it went to an alternate channel, but it's the first game, so it's not going to be an issue. Is Michigan any good? Do you know?
I'm actually not sure.
Yeah, because I watched them play Utah, and outside of throwing to their tight end, but they don't have anybody who can catch the ball on offense.
That's the perfect name for a tight end, by the way.
Yes. Was it Jake Butt, I believe? Is that his name?
Jake Butt, yes.
Because the guys from Mason Brew asked me, like, how are they going to guard him? I'm like, I don't know. You can't? Because honestly, what are you going to do? You're probably going to push him off the line and have a linebacker underneath and a safety on top. So if he catches the ball, he won't get a big gain. Like, he'll get sandwiched.
Make sure you tackle his butt.
Yes. Knock him in the butt. And here's an issue with UNLV. Blake Decker is questionable to play with a hamstring injury. And do you need to take that, it sounds like?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay, just mute yourself. I'll keep going here.
Okay.
So I'll let Chris take care of the business. We're not going to edit this out, folks. We'll keep it in. So like I said, Blake Decker's status is up in the air day-to-day with a hamstring injury suffered in the loss to UCLA last week. Kurt Palandek will be the replacement if he comes in. And he's not brand new. He's a junior college guy who came in. And he played, he's 4-15 on the year in two games. He's come in to kind of the change of pace back, the running quarterback. So there might be that element, even though Blake Decker runs on his own quite a bit. His throwing ability, it's 4-15 in two games. It's hard to tell where he's at because he's not in the groove. And the odds of him being targeted at throws like Devontae Boyd is probably highly unlikely as well, or less likely when he comes in for, I think about 10 snaps per game. But if he comes in, he needs to be more accurate. Same with Blake Decker. If Blake Decker plays, you got to get to 60%, pal. You got Devontae Boyd. I know the offensive line isn't anything special. And Kevin Whitley, the running back, it's still a work in progress to do anything special. But they need – because here's the thing about UNLV. I'll ask you this, Chris. Do you think they have the best player on the field in Devontae Boyd out of both teams?
Yes, absolutely. He's yeah. I mean, the only other person I can think of
but
that would be better than Boyd is but I can't do this. I don't think he's very impactful where it counts sometimes because he's used more as a padding blocker.
We're both 10 years old here.
So, you know, instead of with UNLV, I mean, if you have to double cover him and just make sure he can't rear out, you know. But overall, okay. Yes, Boyd is the most talented player on either side of the team.
So if it's Decker or Palandek, because Palandek might get the start, how are they not 60% passing the ball, at least? You can't be 52% with the best NFL prospect on the field.
Well, first of all, UNLV has had a lot of drops the last two games. A lot. And the first game where they lost against Northern Illinois, there were 10 drops.
True,
I'm sure, but last week there were more.
Yeah, there have been, but Decker's never been above 55% guy the past, even last year. And that's when he had Devontae Boyd and I can't believe I forget the other guy's name, Devontae Davis.
Yeah.
And he's still struggling. And even Marcus Sullivan, they couldn't get the ball above 60% passing. Here's a good thing, though. Jake Rudock, the Iowa transfer, he's not a very good quarterback. He's had 4 interceptions in 2 games, and I know you probably read this, but he's had 5 picks. Last year, he had 5 interceptions the whole season.
That's fine.
So do you think maybe Penny Vea can make a play? I think if they're going to – what's the spread? Is it – it's what, 34 points, right?
Well, between Penny Vea or – you know, Sonny Sanatoa, both of those guys have to have big games.
What is it? Was it? I don't have it in front of me. 34 points or something.
The spread is 26.5.
I don't know. I just think with UNLV.
Wait, hold on. Let me check that. Hold on there.
I did not include that on our preparation here. I just think.
Well, sorry, I can't find it in the spread. That's the worst part.
It's well, regardless, it's quite high. If I recall, I think it's 26 or 34. But here's the thing.
It's Michigan is 34. Michigan is 34.
Then it's 26.5.
I'm taking the 34. Here's the thing. UNLV had UCLA not covered for most of the game either.
10-0 halftime.
What?
It was 10-0 to half. That's it.
Exactly. That's what I said. It's just in the fourth quarter where they wear down. So UNLV is starting strong and fighting strong. It's just how can they finish? And it comes back to this. If UNLV can make some plays, score some points, and keep it close, I don't think they're going to win, but I think they're definitely going to cover.
I think they will, but it'll
be. And also, they have a brutal schedule.
They do. NIU, UCLA, now Michigan. That's tough. They just don't have the depth, and they need a strength coach that they – I don't know what the offseason workout is, but that was an issue as well. It seems like if they're not – can't handle playing late in the game. So it'll – I think Michigan would comfortably, but it'll be like the UCLA game, reasonably close, and then they'll just pull away at the end, kind of grind out a victory. Next game
– absolutely. Before that, I'm going to have to give a shout-out to our writers, Daniel Connolly and Parker Robinson, who've been tweeting me throughout this podcast because we're giggling maniacally at butts.
It's like on did you ever watch Friends at all?
Yeah. Well, I think it's more like Minions. I know the tweet there, but even before you brought the tweet up, Parker, it's definitely butts. More like Minions.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that too. But on Friends, it's when Chandler has the job interview and they kept going about duties the whole time. He just laughs every time.
So anyway, next game.
Next, where'd my page go? What game is it? Utah State? No, it's Utah State.
But wait, there's more.
Nevada, Texas A&M. SEC Network. Another early.
Speaking
game.
Speaking more about animal crap.
Yeah. Yes, Texas A&M.
34 point spread.
I don't think Texas A&M's. You said 44 or 24?
34.
Oh, 34 in between. Here's the thing, which it's hard to tell. We should know more about these teams, but week one, when you play 8 freaking FCS teams, we get overconfident week two, and look what happened. And so we kind of have an idea of where Nevada's at. So like we thought they had a good running game with Don Jackson running the ball as their main guy.
Excuse me, I did not say that Nevada had the greatest of games that first week. I knew that Arizona was going to cover the spread. Nobody ever believes me when I say these things.
Go back and listen, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
hot takes. Sports takes. Colin Cowherd style. Come on.
No, but what I'm saying is that Nevada, you played, you inflated inflated ego, essentially. They played, they put up good numbers. Like, New Mexico won 66-0. So I figured, okay, Tulsa, they'll be close, even though it should have been closer than what it was. When Nevada, the pistol offense, they did what they did. They didn't put up good numbers, but they had the one Don Jackson running back to Tyler Stewart, quarterback, running for like 45 yards. They had the formula to be a good option or pistol option offense. But then last week, look what happened. And Texas A&M is much better than Arizona, I think. Right?
Absolutely. Texas A&M manhandled Arizona State. They won last week. One of these things is just like, I want to say 34 points is too much, but at the same time, I'm still not confident in Taylor Stewart yet.
I'm just going to go Texas A&M is going to blow them out. They're at home. They got Dave Christensen on the other side, who knows a bit about Nevada from his time at Wyoming. So that might have some influence there, him on the running game and offensive line coach. I think Aggies – sorry, Daniel, but Aggies are going to roll here, I think, big time.
Yeah, I actually – that 34, I think Texas A&M will win by 35. But here's the thing. I think it's going to become like a – it's going to be something like – it's going to be like 56-21 or something of that sort. Like, Nevada will get the points. They're just not going to have the defense to sustain it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I hope they could get it down, but I can't, like I say, can't trust them until it happens, and that's kind of where I'm at with Nevada right now. I want to see another game. It's hard to tell too. You're playing.
It's pretty bad when I have more faith in UNLV, and not even from a fan point standpoint, but I have more faith in UNLV to cover the spread than I do in Nevada. I mean, that's.
What do you mean? You hate Nevada, right? Because you're
well outside of the fact I hate Nevada, but it's more of the less. It's more of what UNLV has proven, even though they're a horrible team. They've proven that they don't get blown out within the first half and then go all out. Whereas Nevada has not proved to me yet to be a good team worthy of maybe overestimating them at some points. Like I said, 34 points is a lot, and I will be glad to admit I'm wrong when Nevada makes this a close game and only loses by 14. But until then, that 37-3 win over Davis wasn't really convincing. And then last week's drubbing versus Arizona, it just kind of took a step back for me.
Yeah, and
I just Texas A&M is a really, really good team. They're definitely going to be an SEC West dark horse.
Yeah, they're probably SEC West. people have them in the playoffs, perhaps.
I'm just reading the tweets that are coming to me while this podcast is going.
Don't apologize to me. Apologize to Brandon. He's doing the recap. Good point. Yeah, Daniel, I know it's already midnight for you, so if you're still listening, I appreciate that. So, next game, I think this is the most intriguing game of the weekend.
It's past your bedtime, Daniel. Go to bed.
It's almost past my bedtime, really. I got to get up early. But Utah State at Washington is a 5.5-point line. Somehow it increased a couple to Washington. It's on the Pac-12 Network, 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific out there. So, again, if you have Pac-12 Network, hope you find the game. Or have the channel, I should say. I think it's only DirecTV that doesn't have it. So when I say that, it makes it sound like nobody has it. But a lot of people do get the network.
Yeah, I think it's I think now Pac-12 Network has become popular enough. It's on especially a lot of West Coast TVs. I know Cox has it all.
Comcast, Dish.
Universe, Comcast, Dish. The Time Warner Network does carry it, I think. It's a lot more than what people think. I just don't think a lot of people have bought all that package yet.
Yeah, it depends. I don't know if it's on the regional or national feeds that can kind of play into it as well, but find the game if you can. Because Utah State and Washington, I want to see what Chucky Keaton does because there's been no update. Like, Parker doesn't know much of anything. Cover Utah State for KSL.com. But he's limping like the whole game in the second half. But he's as far as I can tell, he's going to play. And Washington, they're beat them pretty good, and Utah State's defense, well, I shouldn't say beat them pretty good. They shut down their offense, essentially. Because wasn't it, if I recall, Washington did not have an offensive touchdown. It wasn't a special teams TD in the Boise State game?
Yeah, it was the Austin Pettis kick return for a touchdown.
Okay. Austin Pettis. Is that correct?
Dante Pettis. I said Dante Pettis.
You said, I thought you said Austin Pettis. I'm like, okay. Sorry. I was thinking that the Boise State guy, didn't they have a guy named Austin Pettis, Boise State did?
Yes, it's Dante Pettis's, I think, older brother or, like, cousin or something like that.
Oh, okay. That's why I was like, wait a minute. I didn't know if you had a flashback to something and you're remembering something quite different. But, yeah, Washington, like, Utah State's defense is as good or better than Boise State's. Yes, I said it. As good or better. Or better. Is that fair to say, or better?
I would say as good. I'm not sure if or better.
Okay. It's good enough. It's quite well. Kyle Fackrell, Vigil, they have a lot of good players on the team. And Washington,
Washington's slowly gotten better. And you hate to say it, especially since you're talking about like what they did to an FCS team last week. But I mean, their offense got rolling. They beat Sacramento State in a shutout, 49-0, and we knew that their defense might be good when they played Boise State. I'm not sure if it was just Boise State's offense just fluttering out, which it sort of did. But in that second half, especially that last quarter, Washington's defense stepped up when the game could have easily gotten out of hand. That second game, Washington has basically got even better. You say it's against an FCS team, whatever, but it's still hard to post a shutout even in the fourth quarter when it's just all garbage time points.
True, but we might be falling into the trap, or you might be, because like I said moments ago, you played so many FCS teams. We're kind of higher on Nevada and other teams and San Diego State, New Mexico, and look what they did. It's going to come down to because
Utah State has not proved that it has an offense.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, their offense is much worse than Boise State's, and Chucky Keaton doesn't have – we don't know what the deal is. His leg, whatever. But here's one good thing. They get Hunter Sharp back into this game, which is a huge deal.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to bet giant. Matt Wells, everybody there, Chucky Keaton, they're going to make up for lost time with Hunter Sharp, I think. He's going to get the ball early and often. And they're just going to give him the ball as much as he wants. And he's going to make plays. Because last year, when Daryl Garrett was the quarterback, and even Chucky Keaton in the first couple of games, he was as good. And also, he was right there with Rashard Higgins as the best receiver in the conference. It's just that when he switched you go to Kent Myers, who can't throw the ball downfield yet, was still young. They're keeping the playbook very simple. He's going to go off big, and I'm thinking Utah State might win by – this will be the week, like, oh, here's their offense, because the one hunch, the sophomore from Florida, has proven he's a reasonably good running back. He did pretty well versus Utah, and they stuck with the running game more against Utah in that game. They might have won, or also that horrendous drop down the sideline. I think Utah State's going to win by double digits in this game. It's going to be Hunter Sharp with like a couple touchdowns and over 100 yards receiving.
Oh, wow.
I'm going big, yeah.
I'm going at least Utah State to not cover because they're 6-point dogs in this game. I'm going to say that the game's going to be close. It's going to be within 3 points. It's going to come down to a field goal on either team. I'm going to say I think Utah State pulls it out. I think Utah State pulls it out, wins by points. wins by a field goal. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just think I'm probably too high, but I'm thinking that Hunter Sharp, he's going to come in and go, give me the ball, and just because Washington's defense doesn't scare me one bit. So it's like, why? Who cares? They lost Shaq Bell. They lost multiple guys. They had multiple guys in NFL defense.
Shaq Bell never played for.
Shaq Barrett, right? Excuse me.
No, Shaq Thompson.
Oh, Shaq Thompson. Sorry. They lost multiple defenders to NFL, and they still barely made a bowl game. So that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. They'll be fine. Next game, Colorado State at Denver, at the home of the Denver Broncos. I'll just call it Mile High because I think it's Sports Authority Field, but I'm not going to go there. I think that's right. CBS Sports Network, it's a 5 local kick, 7 Eastern, Rocky Mountain Showdown. And is this game? Do people really care if this is a rivalry game outside of Colorado?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. Just making sure. Just making sure. We saw Colorado historically lose against Hawaii week one, and you can blame the rest, but I'll just say fifth down, and it took a lot of effort to tie the game if you got a chance. Here's the interesting thing. It depends about Rashard Higgins because he's still day-to-day practicing with that ankle injury. If he doesn't play, Colorado State should win, but I don't know if they will.
Yeah, I say Colorado State wins this, and not just because Colorado State this is a heated rivalry game and Colorado State has looked better as of late, but it's more or less Colorado State's the favorite by 4 points in this game. Colorado has looked – huh?
How's Colorado the favorite?
They're the better team. I'm telling you, Colorado is not good.
No, wait, wait. I thought you said the Buffaloes are favorite, correct?
No, I said Colorado State's favorite.
Okay, sorry. I thought you said Colorado. I was like, wait, that doesn't sound right.
No. The Rams are favorite in this game. Once again – the Buffaloes beat Massachusetts 48-14, but that's a horrible, horrible match.
Yeah, who cares? I know nothing about that. That tells me zero. You lose to Hawaii and get blown up and blow out a bad.
You lost to Hawaii. That should be our first indication of how bad Colorado is. I don't care. Yeah. It was a game really where Hawaii basically controlled most of the game too. So, I mean, I think Hollywood Higgins should just take care of business here.
He's going to play. He has to play, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And a rival game, I mean, he picks up 150 yards. I just...
Wait, you're incorrect.
I'm going to say Rams big.
You know, you're incorrect. The Buffaloes are favored by a field goal.
Jesus, there. Hold on. It sounds like there was a gunshot outside my window.
Take care of that.
Hold on for a sec, just...
Okay. Go take care of that.
What am I supposed to take care of?
I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know.
Let's go ahead and keep podcasting, and if I hear more gunshots, I'm going to slowly hide.
Okay, this is legit, folks. We're power through.
I think it's far enough away.
power through. Sorry.
God damn.
But.
but. Oh, boy.
No, but what I said, the Buffaloes are our field goal favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. When the beginning of the spread, Colorado State was a 4-point favorite here, at least according to the stupid upset picks here.
It changed. Yeah, it did change.
Rams so it's completely favorite. Flopped by this point.
Yeah, I don't know why. Colorado, they ran the ball well against UMass. Their quarterback, who's supposed to be getting better, has not gotten better. Or is it South? What's his name? I'm going to butcher it, so I'm not going to try. But the quarterback who started last year and this year, it's...
Yeah, Kafa Lufau or something like that. Kafa Lufau.
Yeah, I believe that's it. He hasn't proven and gotten better at all. But here's one interesting thing about the rivalry. We know it's going to at least temporarily end after 2022 or 2023. But did you see the Colorado athletic director proposes to play a home-and-home for this series to bring it back to the campuses?
I think that would be it'd be a smart idea, but it'd also be a stupid idea. I mean, people are going to
Denver.
People are going to Denver. Yeah, absolutely.
And Rams have like record ticket sales for this game. I think maybe do it like, I think because I know we talked about this, Colorado wanted more home games just because they're in a Pac-12. Get down. Shh. You all right?
No. I'm going to hang up now.
Okay, I'll finish this up. Take care.
Okay.
Well, we'll check back in later with you.
Yeah, I'm just going to mute my microphone for now.
Okay, just mute it. I'll go ahead. You just do your thing. Okay. Well, let's hope Chris is everything goes well there and there's not any issues out there in San Diego. I could say butts again, but it's not as funny as before. Well, kind of still is, but not right now. Not a good thing. All right, we'll finish up here, and we'll check back in with the Chris hopefully a moment later that everything's good to go. But playing at, I think they maybe do it every third year, like go CSU, CU, then Denver, something like that to mix it up, keep it fresh. I think that's a good thing, good way to do for the series. But Colorado State, I'm assuming their quarterback play can't be worse, because when they played Minnesota, they really should have won that game. There's no reason for them to lose at home like that in overtime to a reasonably good Minnesota team. But space on the quarterback's name here, because there's other stuff going on that's more important. But if they get to Rashard Higgins, the passing game should improve. Colorado doesn't have that much of an offense either. They're not going to do too much. And I'm going Rams are going to win by a touchdown, too. If they could find somebody to run the ball well, as which they haven't done as well as they need to be first couple of games, and find a replacement for D. Hart from last year. But it's a rivalry game. Stuff can happen. Mike McIntyre wants to get a victory. He didn't beat them last year. He doesn't want to go 0-2 against the rival, even though some may not think that, just because, hey, they're in the Mountain West. They're not a power team, but whatever. Circumstances allowed Colorado to be where they're currently at. And Rams are going to win. If Higgins plays, they win big. If he doesn't play, it'll be like the Minnesota game, something closer than expected. Next game, San Jose State at Oregon State. Pac-12 Network again, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. I think San Jose State can win, but here's the thing. They don't know who their quarterback is. Ron Carragher is deciding between Joe Gray and Kenny Potter. Joe Gray hasn't really played as well as they thought he would be in his second year. But here's the thing. If you look at the combination they have between Winston and Tyler Winston there, that's probably one of the better combinations in the conference, running back, wide receiver. They just need a quarterback who can get them the ball. And again, they gave up they're close against Air Force, but they gave up. That fourth quarter was awful. Gave up multiple touchdowns against the backup quarterback and just kind of fell apart late. And Oregon State has new head coach. Mike Riley's no longer there. They have Gary Anderson, people familiar, Utah State, Utah, previously Wisconsin, past couple years. They scored 35 points last week in their win. Their loss. They gave up 35 against Michigan, losing last week. And it's what to expect. It's going to pass a lot, and that's somewhat of the strength of the San Jose State defense with their secondary, which Benet Wickery was there, got picked up in the NFL. They recruiting well, top defensive backs on their team. It's on the road, and San Jose State, they're not a team I want to trust, because the rush defense still isn't there. They've gotten better a little bit, but they're not a rush defense I want to trust, even if Oregon State is going to be passing more than running, which I think would be the case. And they're in the Pac-12, and the line in this game, trying to pull it up here, Oregon.
7.5 Oregon State.
Welcome back. Everything good to go?
Maybe. I think so. Okay. I haven't heard anything in a while, but I'm just keeping it low down here.
You're hiding under the table or something?
Yes.
I'm serious. I'm not kidding, but I'm saying that. Make sure stuff doesn't happen. So do you have any thoughts on this game? Or are you going to just listen to me babble on and banter?
No. It's one of those things that that Oregon State, we're still not exactly sure how bad they are. But we have an idea of how good or how bad San Jose State is. They did not do well against Air Force last week. But I think the potential is still there. So if Oregon State can kind of mess up a few times and San Jose State gets Tyler Ervin running along with the rest of their running core, Joe Gray or whoever's starting a quarterback can get some things going. We're gonna be, I think San Jose State can actually pull out the win here. It's only a 7.5 point spread. It's not gonna be a blowout.
Correct. They got blown up by a mediocre Michigan team and only scored 26 points against Weber State. And so I don't know how they're a touchdown favorite or 7.5, but it's going to be closer than that. I can't trust San Jose State. But here's the thing where I think they could, reasonably expectation they could pull this off. Seth Collins, a quarterback, is only completing 59% of his passes, average 5 yards an attempt, not good. He's also the team's leading rusher by a mile. He has 180 yards compared to Chris Brown, who has 87 yards. And Storm Woods, I don't know what the deal with him is because he should be good, has only carried the ball 18 times for 76 yards. So that could be an advantage because we know how terrible the rush defense is for Spartans there. And if it's that bad and their secondaries are strength, I'm leaning up. Didn't I send you San Jose State was my pick, right?
Yes, you did. Absolutely.
So I'm going Spartans, and this confirms, looking at their bad quarterback play and their bad running play, I'm going San Jose State for the outright victory, 2-1 on the year.
Yeah, I think San Jose State's definitely going to cover this game. I'm not sure about when, though.
Tell me this. Do you know anybody on South Alabama's football team?
I can point you to the resident South Alabama fan, the guy who's in charge of Underdog Dynasty, Nick Lewis. He can be able to tell you about South Alabama. I should be able to know more. I'm on their Slack all the time because, you know, I only write. I'm an editor for that website.
They're third in the Sun Belt, correct?
Yes, they are in the Sun Belt.
Okay, that's what I thought. They're a reasonably new FBS team. This game's on Campus Insiders. It's actually a surprisingly early kick for Aztecs, 5 p.m. local time. They usually kick later for San Diego State, but not this case. Early evening. Maxwell Smith is still the starter for some reason. The former SEC quarterback at Kentucky.
Well, it's because he's an elite SEC quarterback. Isn't that the case?
No. If you know anything about the SEC, who's the last good quarterback that who actually throw the ball out of the SEC? Is it really Johnny Manziel?
I thought it was who was it?
Tim Tebow.
What was his name from Alabama? John Parker
Wilson.
Well, John Parker Wilson. Yeah.
No, it's not. Or is it? Could be. Is that Cam Newton? There you go, Cam Newton. Yeah, Zach Mettenberger, who's with the Titans. So, all I'm going to say, this game, Aztecs should roll, and they should let Donald Pumphrey run the ball as much as he wants.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the only way the Aztecs lose this is how they lost to South Alabama in the last bowl game. Just not staying focused. And if for some reason San Diego State finds the need to pass, they're going to be in trouble.
All right, next let's game. Let's kind of speed this along here to finish up. Wyoming at Washington State.
Oh, by the way, I'll go ahead and pick. That was a 17.5 point spread. I'll go ahead and say South Alabama covers the spread, but does not win.
I'm going Aztecs blowout. All right. Well, Wyoming at Washington State. Another game on Pac-12 Network, 5:30 Pacific time. These two places are the worst two places to travel to, Pullman and Laramie, possibly in the country in all of college football.
I would vote that Moscow is worse to travel to than Pullman.
Interesting. Okay. Well, it's in the same region because isn't Pullman like 10 miles from the border?
Yes, but okay. It's not Idaho.
Oh, that's why. There you go. that's where you're coming from. Your hate for the Vandals is what?
Yes, it is. Great, did I lose you?
Folks, I think we lost Jeremy. I'm not too sure where he went, but I'm going to go ahead and continue talking here. So this game, as far as I know, does not have a spread. Washington State 1-1 after losing to Portland State, which is kind of funny. But they rebounded against Rutgers, and while rebounding against Rutgers, managed to get Kyle Floods, the coach of Rutgers, suspended for a few games for comments that he made and actions that he took throughout that game. Wyoming, the only good thing about Wyoming right now is the fact that they have a nasty rush offense. You're talking about a team that has Brian Hill, Sean Wick. The team rushed for almost 400 yards last week, or maybe a little over 400 yards.
Sorry, I realized I got disconnected partway through. Brian Hill, yeah. Or Sean Witt. Yeah, Brian Hill rushed for like 270 of that.
That's right, yeah. So they did rush for over 400 yards. That's what I thought. I couldn't remember. But yeah, it's one of those things that
they don't have a
Wyoming doesn't have a defense. Wyoming doesn't have a defense. And so this could either turn into a really nasty, really fun game, or it could turn into just the worst thing to watch ever in your entire lives. I'm voting for the super fun no defense game in which Washington State's going to pass for like 500, 600 yards and Wyoming's going to rush for 400 to 500 yards.
Am I still with you?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Apparently I'm in the show, but also listening to the show somehow, I think.
Interesting.
Because you sound different now.
Well, that's also because I'm keeping my voice lower as well.
No. Like the quality I can tell is different. Don't you see yourself, me, twice in there?
I will check right now.
At the bottom right?
Yes. There is me twice. You are there in there twice.
Let me remove the one that says Jeremy. So if I drop, keep chatting about how Eastern Michigan threw the ball against Wyoming and their secondary is terrible.
Yeah, so something like Eastern Michigan tore up the Wyoming defense for 460 passing yards.
Hey, I didn't drop out. I'm in. And you sound much better now. Excellent.
Absolutely. Oh, hey, check that out. But this team needs to learn how to stop the pass and quick because, Mike Leach has a air raid offense, and they need to learn how to stop it.
Unless Eddie Yarborough can cause damage and get to the back foot quick enough, which he's a good player, but I don't think he can. There's not a chance they're going to disrupt the passing game. I think Washington, no, absolutely. It's going to be a – I'm sorry, Craig Bull, but you're losing your third straight game by quite a margin too.
Something to that sort. Okay, you already said that Maxwell Smith is starting. Okay.
Yeah, I did. Final game. No. Oh, two games. Sorry. UC Davis at Hawaii. You know what this means? It's on Time Warner Oceanic.
Our favorite announcer ever. And
streaming on the Mountainless Network, which means our favorite guy, our guest we never had because Blog Talk Radio is the devil, Robert Kekalua, right? Kekalua?
No, you're wrong. It's Robert Kekalua. Kekalua. Go sit down in the corner and think about what you've said.
Sorry, okay? Robert.
He will never come back to the show. He will never come to the show again because A, we screwed it up, and B, you cannot pronounce his name.
Robert Kekalua.
Kekalua.
Kekalua?
Kekalua, yes.
Okay, Robert Kekalua.
How do we talk about him almost every single week and you still don't know how to pronounce his name?
It's Vigil. It's Vigil, I tell you.
Robert, if you're listening to this, which I'm sure he isn't, but I'm sorry. He's the one who cannot pronounce things. I can, mostly. Just please come back to us.
Watch this game. There's nothing else for that, but Hawaii, they had a good performance against Ohio State for the first three quarters. They should win. And let's hope that I thought my thing where I said Max Wittick made Timmy Chang cry is pretty funny for not getting 100 yards.
Exactly.
So yeah, they should win. They should win big. Just give me a good performance. They'll be 2-1 and 5 games away from bowl eligibility at 7-6. Final game, number 21 Utah at Fresno State. You know what's funny about this game? The offensive coordinator for Fresno State is Dave Schramm, and the guys around who used to coach at Utah. So the guys around town here, radio and stuff, like, oh, maybe they'll dial up something special that Utah won't be expecting. It's like, please, quit trying to make up stories to talk on the radio. Fresno State's offense is terrible, and Utah's defense is very good.
And Fresno State's offense is pretty good. And
is it?
Fresno State's defense is terrible.
Is Fresno State's
offense gave up 73. Good? They gave up 73 to Ole Miss last week. What makes you think that they're not going to give up another 60 points this week?
Utah's offense can't do that. That's why.
Okay, fine. 50.
Yeah, I'll go 45.
Matt. Matt doesn't drink, but Matt is.
He's at Taco Bell with more Locos Doritos, hard shell tacos.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you want to follow him on Facebook, you'll see what we're talking about. Utah is going to very likely starting Kendall Thompson the backup because if you saw the Utah State game, starter Travis Wilson left with a sprained left shoulder. Kendall Thompson, the production's not going to be any different. He's just more of a running type quarterback. He I still confidently say he cannot throw the ball downfield very well or at all. But he can move a little bit. They got Devontae Booker, who's probably the best running back out west and probably in the Pac-12 as well. And Utah's defense is pretty good. And Fresno, it's have we heard if it's still Zach Greenlee or is it Chase and Virgil getting to start?
Matt does not know yet, but I think we are assuming that it's going to be Chase and Virgil to start.
That's what I thought because Zach Greenlee is terrible. So it's probably what Carragher's doing at San Jose State, just listing them as the or on the depth chart and said, you'll find out once we take the field, folks. I think Dave Stram could have a little something, but it's not going to be enough or anything to do or to help or assist in any sort of victory for Fresno State. There's a reason Utah's ranked 21st.
Yeah, exactly. There's no way. There's no way Fresno State's going to win this. It's going to be just how bad is the carnage.
Yeah, because the Ole Miss game, I stopped watching. They made a somewhat of a comeback, but then they had that nearly a pick six to really just put the game out of hand against Ole Miss. But Margie's Waller needs to do to make it keep it even competitive. He has to try to run for like 100 plus yards. But then again, if they're losing by quite a bit, which is probably the case, how much are they going to give him the ball?
The key word is a lot.
What do you have the line in this game? I don't have it in front of me.
I do not. I cannot find the line.
Oh, no. This is a weird one because
I cannot find the line.
Yeah, I go to VegasInsider.com. It says zero, like no line, and then a pick 'em. But I go to Odd Shark. It's not on the. It's not given a line.
Yeah. So Jeremy dropped out again.
No, I'm here. It just went to mute for some reason for half a second. I don't know why it's not on the board, but Utah's going to win by at least two touchdowns. I'm thinking.
I'm putting Utah by 25.
I don't think their offense is that good to do anything like that because
besides Fresno State's defense is that bad. That's the problem.
Yeah, but Utah can't throw the ball. They'll probably win big and give a lot to Devontae Booker, but I don't think they're going to be able to. I don't think Kendall Thompson is good enough to throw against any defense, even one that's as mediocre as Fresno State is. Because here's the thing, right here, Utah's defense has just two pass plays of over 20 or more yards this season, and one running back play, which to Devontae Booker, 22 yards. So their two longest pass plays of the year are 20 and 22 yards. And one of those went to Devontae Booker, which if I recall, was not like a downfield pass. It was just a short running back where he did all the work. So they're not throwing the ball downfield, which I'm saying that's why they're not going to be able to win as much as we think they could. They don't have a quarterback play. Even if they had Travis Wilson, the stupid guy makes dumb running plays and gets flipped over on the sideline, can't throw the ball very well either. So that's why I'm going Fresno is going to lose probably by three touchdowns, but not more than that.
Yeah.
All right, I think we're done here. We've gone quite a long enough. We've had an exciting show.
We have had an exciting show.
Interesting show. We've had.
You want to finish out with our sponsorship?
Yeah, we didn't mention it there. We'll do it really quick. We're not going to do our big spiel at the beginning. We'll change this up. Head over to Bombas.com, soon to be bombas.com/MountainWest. We'll put the code in our website. Check it out. You get 20% off four pairs and free shipping. Here's the deal. Most comfortable socks I've ever worn. If you like colors, get pink, yellow, black. They've had American flag socks. My wife has a pair of knee-high Cupid socks that you could have purchased at some point. They donate socks. Every pair you buy, they donate a pair. So that's always pretty cool because everybody needs socks, especially those who are unfortunate to in a situation where they need help, whether stuff happens. They donate socks to help people out in need. So check out bombas.com if you want to buy socks. Hey, give us a couple bucks, and maybe we can give Chris a bulletproof vest or something to protect you if something happens.
You're a horrible person. I don't think it's that bad out there. It's just it's startling to hear that noise.
I know. I just tried to think of something that was – whatever. It was something. Probably not the best thing to use, but – You can check them out if you want. It's in the notes on the website. But, yeah, bombas.com. Thanks for hope you like what you're hearing, guys.
So welcome to the sponsorship.
So how quickly do they email me and say, shut up about us?
No, I think we're going to be fine.
No, we're good. We'll tighten it up. We'll do some other things about it. But that's what we got tonight. Check out all the games. We'll have our I should be here for a recap. If there's zero wins again, maybe I'll just duck out. I don't know. But, no, I'm kidding. We're sticking around. We're not going to worry about the American Conference taking over the top spot from these leagues. But check out Chris, Greek Padre. We haven't done a Twitter account for a while. Do you know what your current feed is or your current number is?
I do not know what my current –
Let's get you to 500. We got you to 400 last year. You're currently at 459. Check him out for the funny stuff he likes to do and maybe the butt jokes between him and Daniel Connolly on Twitter for Jake Butts. But what, I ask you? Yeah.
So many butt jokes.
Yeah, there's too many to go. But yeah, check us at MWCConnection.com. Again, we're on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. I was about to say SoundCloud Radio, but that's not right at all. SoundCloud, leave us a review, 5 stars. Tell us what you really think, as I always say. It helps us out. And yeah, check the website. We got all the previews come end of this week, and we will be back on Sunday night to hopefully recap a great weekend, and hopefully your team did well.